Hey friends, hi. We're nearing the end of this series. We have one more ray to go. And we are going to be discussing the integration formula for ray 7. This is the beginning of Techniques of Integration webinar commentary number 16. We're on page 375, actually. And we begin with the seventh ray stanza, having temporarily finished our work with the sixth ray stanza in the last program. So here is the stanza itself, which we will now read. Ray 7. I seek to bring the two together. The plan is in my hands. How shall I work? Where lay the emphasis? In the far distance stands the one who is. Here at my hand is form, activity, substance, and desire. Can I relate these and fashion thus a form for God? Where shall I send my thought, my power, the word that I can speak? I at the center stand, the worker in the field of magic. I know some rules, some magical controls, some words of power, some forces which I can direct. What shall I do? Danger there is. The task that I have undertaken is not easy of accomplishment, yet I love power. I love to see the forms emerge, created by my mind, and do their work, fulfill the plan, and disappear. I can create. The rituals of the temple of the Lord are known to me. How shall I work? Love not the work. Let love of God's eternal plan control your life, your mind, your hand, your eye. Work towards the unity of plan and purpose, which must find its lasting place on earth. Work with the plan. Focus upon your share in that great work. The word goes forth from soul to form. Stand in the center of the pentagram, drawn upon that high place in the east within the light which ever shines. From that illumined center, work. Leave not the pentagram. Stand steady in the midst. Then draw a line from that which is without to that which is within, and see the plan take form. All right, these are powerful words, and we want to see whether we can bring some light upon them. Probably you've been studying them on your own, and light has dawned for you. I seek to bring the two together. Well, so let's say in general, spirit and matter, or in this case, soul and personality, or any two which are on a vertical axis. Because, as it is said in the seventh ray word of power, the highest and the lowest meet. So this is a relating ray, and it is always involved in bringing the heavenly and the earthly together. It says, heaven to earth, H-E-A, heaven to earth I bring, and earth to heaven. This the one who stands before the angel knows. This is in the Angel of the Presence commentaries. So the story is ever the same. There are aspects of the human being which are not related, usually the extremes, and they have to be brought into relationship. The extremes, the poles, have to be brought into relationship. The plan, and presumably, the plan Is this yet the divine plan? Or simply any plan? In any case, the seventh-ray worker is distinguished by liking to work with his hands. So this is more than just a symbol. Seventh-ray worker works with his hands, whether it's in the field of construction or the arts, handicraft, healing, wherever mechanical ability is required, especially if blended with the fifth ray. So whatever these two might be, there's always the possibility of bringing them together into a kind of unity, into a kind of synthesis. There are all kinds of unities and syntheses, and the seventh-ray type is concerned with bringing them about. How shall I work? This is the big question. One thing, you know, we can call the seventh-ray type is the magician, but also the worker. Of course, interestingly enough, I am the worker in the work, the one that is. This term is also used for the, interestingly enough, the third ray type. There are some interchanges on the third and seventh ray. Both are called the magician, although only the seventh-ray type is called the ritualist, and both can be called the worker. The worker in the furthest world, the one who is arranging and rearranging the densest aspect of matter. The worker is the one who arranges and rearranges the densest aspects of matter. What does DK call it? A kind of a congestion. The lower material worlds are called a congestion, I suppose, upon the etheric model or prototype. So how shall I work? What specifically shall I do, and in what order, and to what effect? Activity is here. Order, activity, and accomplishment. Well, maybe not in that activity. Order and accomplishment of the goal in sequential steps. I'm not sure whether the normal seventh-ray type works in a simultaneous manner, maybe meditatively. Uranus is the planet of simultaneity, one of the things it is, and also it is the preeminent seventh-ray planet. Where lay the emphasis? In other words, there are three different aspects of divinity. So where shall I concentrate? So where shall I put my focus? Always I want to manifest the plan, or later the plan. In the far distance stands the one who is. It has the quality of being. Now, this can be the soul, but even the spirit aspect, the monad or spirit aspect. Yes, SBTT, Sola Petri. Okay. Well, so who is this one in the distance? This is the one. One does not yet stand in the presence of this one, but this one is sensed. But here there is practical work to do. But here there is practical work to do. Here at my hand, again the hand. Notice, there's much of the power of manipulation in this seventh ray type. So the hand of the seventh ray type is called also the manipulator of the wand. So again, the word hand is form, which has come together in dense aggregations. At first, he is the worker in the furthest world, so we're not talking at first about manipulation of thought forms and of physical forms, though that can come later, and the seventh ray can be applied to it. So we have these aggregations. We have form, let's say, geometric and non-geometric aggregations of matter. Aggregations, right. Aggregations of matter. Okay. We have activity, of course. Everything that is a part of our contents of consciousness is an activity of some sort or another, so we have the constant movement. We might call this this constant movement can be called chaos in the original sense of the word. That which is constantly moving. Sometimes one can, let's say, see the etheric plane and it is consisting of multiple ranges of activity. There's tiny little particles, it seems, always in movement, and sometimes forming forms, coming together and coalescing under the power of the thought of the seer. This is the beginning of the magical process. Form, activity, substance. We can say that this has to do with the etheric level of activity, that which substance and desire. So we have a physical, etheric, astral. So far, there is listed among the forces which can be manipulated by the hand, dense physical form, etheric form, and desire. So this is the work. It's always the work of relationship, bringing together into the proper configuration, bringing together into the proper configuration. Can I relate these and fashion thus a form for God? So we might say this is a rather high objective. We don't seem to have so many of the negatives stated here. Not many of the negatives are stated, as in the case of the third ray, the sixth, there are, if we go back and look, let's see, the second ray has some negatives stated. The fifth ray, not very much, but a little bit, studying the form too much. The sixth ray and third ray have a number of negatives, because one is enmeshed within the glamour, and one is also pursuing that which is futile and which is very limited. So some of these stanzas, begin with a quite undesirable condition, and others with a condition which is limited and personal, but not too undesirable. So far we don't have really an undesirable position here. We want to relate form, activity, substance, and desire. And God is already mentioned, to fashion thus a form for God. Let's just say the motive is high. Okay. The motive is a high one. God is already mentioned. But, of course, can the seventh-ray type preparing for integration, can that type sense the soul? Perhaps. Where shall I send? This is a question about emphasis again, right? Emphasis and direction. Both of which are needed for successful outer work. So where shall I send my thought? Because the thought is the agent of magic. My power, we have to remember, this is one of the power rays. This is a power ray, a reflection of the first ray in form. And the word that I can speak, the magical word, which forces lesser forces to obey. Even in the modern, what DK calls advertising slogans, we are conditioning the consciousness to respond automatically to these magical words and carry out the intent which is behind these magical words. There's so much of the seventh ray, which is psychological in this sense, and trying to condition the consciousness toward a certain type of activity. Often that type of activity is the purchase of that which is being set forth, or attendance at some event, or a political slogan which is involving the will to have people perform in a certain manner and support a certain type of thought pattern. So it's just a question of, what shall I do with the energies I have? This is the question. What shall I do with the energies I possess? What is the most effective way to direct and distribute these energies? That's the question. So, as I say, not much of a negative nature has been stated here. If we were to look at some of the others, we will see that they are in a difficult situation. We'd say, if we go to page 360 or so, pulling the threads of life, I stand enmeshed within my self-created glamour. Surrounded am I by the fabric I have woven, I see naught else. That is a bound condition, is it not? And even with the second ray, we're told that they are the victims of the love of love, and that this love of love must not dominate. This love of being love must not dominate. Instead, the true love of real love must dominate. We come to the fourth ray type, and he's in the middle of war and conflict. And there's a very limited vision put forth here. One is in a dissonant condition and cannot find any harmony at all. It's an undesirable condition. When we look at the fifth ray statement, it's not. We might say, well, yes, there's a limitation, but the relationship to the garment of God, to the form of God, is productive of knowledge. So there is a limitation, but it is not really a negative state, such as is stated, especially in the enwrapped, enmeshed third ray type. When it comes to the sixth ray type, we get the sense of great limitation and a real emphasis upon the personality. So it too presents a limitation from which we need to extricate ourselves. Then when we come to the seventh ray, it's different. Nothing wrong with it, it's just working within the lower worlds particularly, but already the sense of God is there, the sense of intelligent work, working to create a form for the higher energies is here. So these are legitimate questions, even for the disciple, and we're not speaking of being trapped in some material situation, although one can imagine very much how this could be the case for certain form-bound seventh-ray types, really caught in the outer world of procedure. There are things done decently and in order. This is called the ray of ritualistic decency, of things done decently in order, but it's also the ray of things done in order without knowing why they are done. We can call it the ray of ritualistic ignorance in one way, on a lower turn of the spiral. Well, anyway, he goes on, the to-be-integrated man continues his statement about himself. The to-be-integrated man continues his statements about his condition, which seem intelligent enough until there is a rebuke by the soul which is meant to end his condition of limitation. So he goes on to say that I at the center stand, that's fine, a worker in the field of magic. So he knows he is intending to materialize or actualize thought according either to his desire or to the plan of God. Okay. And here he has some abilities. Already we are into the realm of magic. This is, we are into a realm beyond the ordinary. And so the ordinary, non-magical seventh ray type is not being considered here. This is a specialized presentation. I suppose there are many people who will never get into magic in any conscious way, at least not now, and yet they will be proceeding. They will be proceeding along the line of the seventh ray in a constructive manner. So there are some rules of procedure. He knows the rules of procedure, especially in the magical arts, but perhaps there are other rules of procedure in the legal profession, in the profession of construction, in the building arts. There are many places where the seventh ray can be applied, in economics and so forth. Some rules of procedure, and not bad ones, are known. So I know some rules, and I'm willing to follow them. Some magical controls, and this is a special activity, special forms of words, gestures, to protect the practitioner when engaged in the magical arts. So there are specific magical controls which safeguard the magician from the forces which he is in process of invoking. Some words of power, these are definitely commanding words which can summon the forces. It can control the elementals, and it can create contact with the higher Devic forces. Can control the elementals and create contact with the higher Devic forces. I know also some forces which I can direct. So already, this is quite occult work. But is it too personal? That's the question. We're going to be dealing, says Master Decay, in the seventh-ray age with the coming of the mental magicians. And they will be opposed to the workers in white magic. They will be pursuing personality objectives. And it'll be effective mental magic within the lower worlds compared to the white magic of the soul. So what are we talking about here? Do we have a personal mental magician here? The word God was mentioned earlier, so there is some sense of the higher. These are definitely occult skills that he possesses. This is quite occult work, so he possesses occult skills, different from the methods which the other rays may use to accomplish their ends. But, as always, the seventh ray is seeking guidance. The seventh ray, a ray of order, needs orders, or direction, or guidance. There's always the question, am I functioning or working in the right way? This is the ever-present question, what shall I do? And the magical work is dangerous work, as we have been informed by reading carefully a treatise on white magic. There are many ways the magician can die, right? Danger there is. There are many ways that the magician can die when executing the magical process, or engaged in. There is, you know, suffocation of one's own thought forms, there is the occult drowning, there's the fiery destruction on the etheric physical plane, and then of course there's simply the aborting of the work so that all of the inner work never manifests properly because the rules have not been followed properly and the magician is not prepared. The task that I've undertaken is not easy of accomplishment. And what is that? Is this to bring my own thoughts into manifestation, or the divine plan, the plan of God into manifestation? But here comes a very egoistic assertion. Okay, so now there comes a personal and egoistic assertion. I love it for its own sake, perhaps. I love the activity. I love the following activity, and sometimes I may forget why I am engaging in this activity. Always there has to be a broadening of perspective in these integration formulas, a broadening of perspective, because one begins in a rather personal, with a rather personal approach, and then relates more to the divine within himself and begins to bring through that which he as a unit of divinity wants rather than he as a personality. Yet I love power. This links it to the first ray, doesn't it? He says, the love of power must dominate. Remember this, and it's in quotes, the love of power must dominate. There must also be repudiation of those forms which wield no power and so forth. The seventh ray is the concrete expression of the first ray. And I love power. And here's all the things I love. Now, do I just love them because they are a pattern which attracts me? And I get caught up in the pattern. I love to see the forms emerge created by my mind. This is whether for good or ill. And do their work, fulfill the plan of whatever caliber that plan may be, and disappear. Okay, so this is a process which is loved. I love to see the forms emerge created by my mind and do their work, fulfill the plan not necessarily the divine plan, and disappear. One is fascinated by this procedure. The magician of whatever caliber is fascinated by this procedure. I can create, and this is one of the practically artistic rays and one of the creator rays, the fourth ray and the seventh ray, rays of practical artistic creativity, but always the idea of creation in form, the idea of creation in form is emphasized with discussion of the seventh ray. The creative work is over. I, the creator, am. Naught else remains but me. Let the builders cease their work. The temple is completed. Let the soul enter into its heritage, and from the high place command all work to end. Then in the silence subsequent, let him chant forth the words. The creative work is over. I, the creator, am. Naught else remains but me. So, whenever there are different, if the fifth ray is not such a ray of creativity, of course, in a way, any truly intelligent following of the plan of God is creative in that sense. Okay. Well, let's hope we've been able here. It tells me my network connection has been reestablished. Well, I didn't know that it was broken, so hopefully we haven't missed anything here. I love to see the forms emerge, created by my mind, and do their work, fulfill the plan, and disappear. And this would be fine if it were the divine plan. But there's the fascination with the outer form of work. Fascination with the outer form of work. The rituals of the temple of the Lord are known to me. Now, the temple of the Lord, these are rituals used in outer, though occultly inclined, temples, or are the rituals which are known within the causal body. But maybe we're not there to that point. It's more the methods of commanding the forces. Here we have more the methods of commanding and ordering the forces so that they do follow the orders. And again, how shall I work? Because there is still uncertainty. Regarding how this shall be done. And now enters the first rebuke, supposedly, by the voice of the soul. So this is the first time that this type has been corrected. Now, when we were looking at ray number two, right away we, you know, again I stand apart within a circle and yet myself. And right away, the love of love must dominate, not the love of being loved. The power to draw into oneself must dominate, yet into that world of form, but into the world of form that power must someday fail to penetrate. Right away, we have a correction. The correction is coming later here, later in the process. It seems very natural to ask how I shall work, but the danger is to become too preoccupied with the method, the procedure, the sequence of acts to be performed to arrive at a certain result. And we've, you know, seen people, they love their routines. They even forget what the routine is meant to do. The routine becomes an end in itself, and then they are, what should we say, caught in a pattern. And this is undesirable from the spiritual point of view. Undesirable. Okay. So now the rebuke, and now the command, and now the direction. Love, not the work. That's pretty clear. In other words, you're not doing it right. The work is important, but your love should be elsewhere directed. Instead, now we have an elevation of the eyes. Let love of God's eternal plan, which has the, right now it's been a plan and the work. So, heretofore it has been. Heretofore it has been a plan and the, but now it's God's eternal plan. And this is something on a planetary level altogether. Control your life. Well, what shall it be? Your life. That's a general term. Maybe vitality. Probably not the spirit. But of course, it is essentially true that the monad serves the divine plan. But life can mean a number of things, including the vitalizing activity. Your life, your mind, which has been directed to fulfilling your own plans, your hand, which is the executor, that which creates the final arrangement. We might almost call it in one way the hand of the mind. It's the arranging and manipulating power of the mind. Your eye, which directs the forces. The eye directs the forces. And the eye is a receiver, yes. The eye is a receiver and a manipulator. Through the eye, and a sustainer. By keeping one's eye upon the emerging work, that work is held in integrity. And without the emphasis of attention, i.e., keeping the eye upon it, the unity of the work, the integrity of the work, disappears, and it falls apart. So every manifester knows this. You have to keep your directing eye and your envisioning eye upon that which must be achieved. The directing eye and the envisioning eye is kept upon that which must be achieved. So, but it's what used to direct the eye, the mind, the hand, the life. It's one's own personal plans, according to one's individual nature, but now a much wider point of contact is created, or a point of contact with a point which offers a much wider understanding and vision. So there is an elevation of the attention in general. All this calls for an elevation of the attention. That love of God's eternal plan, eternal, cyclic, cyclically changing, cyclically and lawfully changing forever. Cyclically and lawfully changing over time for the duration of our planet. And of course, we can go on. The the eternal plan for the solar system and beyond, but of course there's only so far that such an individual can go. He can only grasp so much of the plan, and it'd be quite sufficient to grasp the plan as the hierarchy understands it, or as Shambhala understands it, which is an expression of the plan intended by the planetary logos. At least he intends the purpose, and other aspects of himself create a plan out of that understanding of the purpose. So, more advice. Work towards the unity of plan and purpose, which must find its lasting place on Earth, until the planetary day be with us, the climax. The plan expresses the purpose. So whatever plans there are must be unified with the purpose as deeply understood. So many plans are not unified with the deeper purpose. Deeper, put it in capitals, purpose, but instead satisfy desire and the personal point of view. So here, having the big picture and realizing that there is a divine plan, work to make sure that your plans are in accordance with the divine plan, which is in accordance with the overarching sustained purpose. Work with the plan, and now it's capitalized, and not just with your many plans, which are personally based, or may even be plans for soul expression. Nothing wrong with that, but soul expression, plans to express the content of your own causal body, may not be in line with the most necessary plan of the moment. We've been told that some of those who are intent upon expressing their own souls, as it were, will not necessarily be able to cooperate with the process we know as the reappearance of the Christ, because they have not made the sacrifice of their own intention to express their own abilities and talents, the sacrifice of that intention for the intention to fulfill what the plan requires, because it's what the planetary logos needs at this time. And focus upon your share in that great work. So altogether, you know, enlarge your point of view and coordinate all your skills with the divinely intended plan, which will bring about the expression of the purpose during at the time of the day be with us. Well, there are many phases to go before that becomes possible. So the first corrective word from the soul has now come forth in the third paragraph and not earlier, interestingly enough. And then some further advice on the spiritual work. The word of the soul goes forth from soul to form, as it has done in all these cases, as it has done in all seven cases, the soul speaks with direct advice for accomplishment. And it's usually about the center. Well, you know, the first-rate type tries to avoid becoming just a personal center. It's a center which considers the whole in an embracing attitude. But usually the center is needed, because at the center there is wisdom, we might say. At the center there is wisdom and a much broader and deeper perspective. So stand in the center of the pentagram. Well, the pentagram is the mind, and especially the higher mind, if one can focus within the causal body. Of course, that will be a later stage. So at least stand in the center of the increasingly soul-infused, soul-infused mind. At least stand there. At least focus in your mind, which can access some of the higher directives. Already the higher directives are being accessed because the word of the soul is being heard. Drawn upon that high place in the east within the light which ever shines. Well, ultimately, the pentagram is the higher mind within the causal body, because that's the high place in the east. The high place in the east is the higher mental plane, and it is really the high place. Let the soul enter into its heritage, and from that high place command all work to end. Enter into its heritage, and from that, how does it say? I want to make sure I have it, you know. So, let the soul enter into its, I guess there are three of them, heritage. And from the holy place, all right, good enough, high place, holy place, and from the holy place, command all work to end. Such great directives from the old commentary written by high beings who have passed through all these stages and know what it means to be more and more a part of what the planetary logos really is. Stand in the center of the pentagram, drawn upon. Now, you see, this is interesting because the magician draws the pentagram and stands within it. And this pentagram, PGM, well, PTGM, how about that? PTGM. And we'll say pentagram. Pentagram. This particular magician is responding to the higher energy, and this pentagram is created within the subplanes of the higher mind. Of course, it's expecting quite a bit to focus within the causal body, egoic lotus, maybe at this point before integration takes place. Maybe this high place in the east is in the higher levels of the mind, which are filled with light. We can say also the pentagram can be on the higher levels of the lower mind, which are filled with the illumination of the soul. So it's within the light that ever shines, in the high place in the east, within the light that ever shines. We can say the light of the soul is shining upon the mental pentagram. That's another way to look at it. Anyway, it's going to be on the mental plane. From that illumined center work, well, this, we could say, in one way, this is the illumined mind, and later, the magician will work from within the causal body. And leave not the pentagram. So, direct all forces from the place of illumination. whether in the illumined part of the lower mind, or within the egoic lotus itself. And stand steady in the midst of what? Stand steady in the midst of all the chaotic forces which have to be directed. Then this is interesting because this is the worker in the furthest world. This next statement refers to the worker in the furthest world. Worker in the furthest world. So draw a line from that which is without. In other words, from the field of form to that which is within, to the archetypal form, which can shape sympathetically the outer form and see the plan take form. So it's as if you stand within the realization of the plan in an illumined place in the mind, and having the plan in mind, connect with the world of form, and that archetypal plan will travel down the line you draw once you connect the outer world of form world of form with the inner archetypal world. And then, magically, the plan will take shape upon the outer world of form. So now, one can, in earlier stages, use the hand, but later the mind will suffice. And the connection between the outer world of form and the inner world of archetypes will see to the shaping of that, of the forms in the outer world, so that they conform to the prototypes in the inner world. I think we can, it's interesting, you might have thought that he would say then, draw a line from that which is within to that which is without, but it's the other way around. So we keep our hand in the world of form, you know how the magician does, one hand in the world of form and one hand elevated, high above, and through his illumined consciousness will flow the organizing power of the archetype, and he will be able to as well use the Deva Kingdom in creating the proper shape within that outer world. And I just want to say that there is danger if one leaves the pentagram, because within the pentagram there is protection, and one is standing in the light of the soul. Otherwise, the lower forces may take control, and all may be ill-directed. So there are a number of the ray types that have to learn to stand steady, you know. Having done all to stand, it's the fourth ray method. Standing in the midst of the hurricane, in the eye of the hurricane for the second ray. And the third ray, in the center of the whirling forces I stand, the center of the meeting place, of many kinds of forces, the forces of that which is below and that which is above. This is the healing stanza for the third ray. So we are all faced with the apparent chaos of life in the lower three worlds, and we have to be a center of archetypal patterning one way or another. Thus we must descend into the lower worlds, and holding our connection with the higher worlds in the illumined mind, see to the redirecting of the forces and the reshaping of interrelated forces. Well, it's quite a stanza. What I'd like to do is just turn to this, as sometimes I tend to do, just kind of read it and say a few things that come to mind, and then read it finally without interruption. Well, if I'm fortunate, I won't interrupt. I seek to bring the two together. Always a high and a low, or maybe even the horizontal pairs of opposites, but the relating factor is always found with the seventh ray. That's why I think Jupiter is a good candidate for one of the seventh ray planets. Eventually this will be soul and personality, or even spirit and matter, but it can simply be at first the mind, the idea or the thought, and the arena or area or plane in which the thought is to be expressed, materialized. The plan is in my hands. I have a plan. I'm holding the plan before me as if I were studying it. And I will use the intelligent manipulatory power of my hand to make sure there is manifestation. I can see to the building and manifesting of the plan which I intend. It's the lowercase plan. How shall I work? This is the age-old question of the seventh ray. What will be my emphasis? What will be my sequence? How much energy shall I throw into any phase of the work? What is my timing? What are the laws of manifestation here? That's what I'm asking. Where lay the emphasis in order to be most effective in bringing through my thought at this level, my thought? In the far distance stands the one who is. If it's really the far distance, it could be the monad. It's certainly a high spiritual being who is an aspect of myself. It could also be the soul, because when you look at the outer world of physical form, it is in a way vibratorily a long way from the world of the soul. Here at my hand, again, and I can manipulate these things, is the world of form and activity, is the dense outer world, the world of substance, that which stands underneath the form and is a prototypical to it, and desire. So I'm working actually in the irrational worlds. I'm working from the mental plane and in the worlds where there is desire and etheric flows and prana to sustain the forms and the energies of precipitation. So I'm working with these irrational factors, with three definite factors: desire, ether, and dense activity. How can I relate these? Into what form can I bring these and fashion thus a form for God? So the motive is already high, whatever the conception of God may be. Where shall I send my thought, which has power, my power in general, which is etheric vitalizing power? The healer energizes thus with life the failing life, seventh ray healer, driving it forth, maybe, to death, or anchoring it yet more deeply in the place of destiny. There is power with the seventh ray, the power to vitalize or even devitalize if you have the negative type of seventh ray entity. So since thought is power, and that upon which one concentrates will materialize, how shall I focus my thought? Where shall I send my power? And the word has a strong manifestational quality to it. Where shall I send the word that I can speak? What word shall I speak? So there, you know, even though all these abilities are in the mind and the hands of the seventh ray worker, he's not quite sure about how to organize all of these abilities and bring about that which is intended, even his own intention. I at the center stand, and you might say within a type of pentagram. If I'm a worker in the field of magic, I'm going to be standing within a magical circle which protects me and from which I can work upon more peripheral forces. I at the center stand. I might be in the center of the pentagram. I might be in the center of my own concrete mind directing all the irrational forces. I'm a worker in the field of magic, and I realize it. So all this stanza begins at quite a high level, and not just the level where someone is lost in the world doing things which are going to bind them to the lower worlds and prevent their release. I know I have some definite skills here. I know some rules which I know I must follow, otherwise suffer the consequences. I know some magical controls which will hold the forces with which I am working at bay, or at least in a manageable condition. Some words of power which are definitely invocative and commanding of the forces which I can command, or maybe invocative of higher forces which I have to invite into the process, and some forces which I can direct. So I am a director and manipulator, standing in the center of my own mental apparatus and controlling a number of forces which I can marshal for the fulfillment of my plan formulated on the mental plane. But what shall I do? Always there is the question of procedure. Procedural questions are always in the mind. And, you know, even when you're dealing with it's a book I've never read, but I've looked through. It's called Robert's Rules of Order. Ideal. Seventh or eighth book, probably has to do with parliamentary procedure. What shall be the sequence of things? And we have to obey that sequence. Even I'm looking at the United States Senate and Congress, and there are these rules of order which have to be obeyed in any procedure which is brought to discussion or a vote within those bodies. So what shall I do? And now the hint that we are connected with the first ray and with life or death issues, danger there is. DK details all the many dangers which may beset the magician. The task that I have undertaken, which is to bring my thought into manifestation through magical methods, is not easy of accomplishment. Maybe if one knows exactly what one is doing and is in the right condition and the right state of purity and so forth, it's easier than otherwise. Yet I love power. And this is the personal love of power. Here's what the procedure that this seventh ray type, not yet integrated, really loves, not yet integrated with the soul. I love to see the forms emerge, created by my mind. See, it is my mind, not necessarily the mind of the soul, and do their work as I intend them to do, fulfill the plan, my plan, and then disappear when their time is gone. And then, you know, I'm forever a creator, bringing through into manifestation what I plan, what I intend. I can create, meaning I can bring into manifestation that which I intend. The rituals of the temple of the Lord are known to me, and later, in another few hundred years, there will be these external effective rituals of the temple of the Lord. But, you know, the temple of the Lord is also one's own causal body, but we would have to wait a while before the worker would know what those are. How, after all, does the soul bring the personality into manifestation except through a ritualistic process? But let us say that at this stage of development, these are not yet known. So in the outer world, there are effective temple rituals which will command the elements and invite the devas into cooperation. And then again, I have a lot of knowledge. You know how the seventh ray is a ray of knowledge. Power and love, interestingly enough, all three are rather equally balanced, but as we see from Master R, totally brilliant on a seventh-ray soul, but essentially a third-ray monad. So procedure is of the utmost importance to some of these people on the ray of ritualistic decency. One does not want to violate the procedure, because then untoward events might happen and the effects of the magical process might be aborted or distorted. How shall I work? The question continues. How shall I work? Is it not the what shall I do? How shall I work? Well, it's about the third time it's said, if what shall I do is counted. And then comes the word of the soul. the perspective of the soul, which is going to straighten out the personal perspective and make it more soul-obeying, soul-centered. Love not the work. Well, you know, do the work, but love it not primarily. Let love of God's eternal plan, love the plan, and it's an eternal plan, with great cycles of expression going on for a long time. Because sometimes the word eternal means cyclic and not just forever. Let love of God's eternal plan control your life, your living process in the three worlds, your thought process, your mind, your hand, your creative process, and your directing process, your eye, your directing and sustaining process. All of these things are your skills, but let them be connected with the love of the plan and not the love of your own plans. Remember the third ray type, love of the ordered process must control, not love of my own wild activity. Well, the seventh ray type has love of its own planning activity. But as I said, seventh and third ray are so connected. The urge to formulate a plan, interestingly enough, is a correlated with the third aspect of divinity. These are the seven methods of inducing soul control. So the word plan, well, it's pretty much on the 1-3-5-7 line, especially 1, 3, and 7, I guess. So let this higher vision, this higher love of a greater process, control all of your abilities, of your vitality, your mind, your creativity, your directing power, your sustaining power of the eye. Work towards the unity of plan and purpose, and it's not always unified. There is a great purpose, but plans may be of all kinds, and they may not be specifically designed to carry out the purpose. Make sure they are. Make sure that when you make a plan, it's correlated with the divine plan, which is attuned to the purpose, and the purpose of which, the purpose of the plan, is the manifestation of that purpose in time and space, in the right cycles at the right time. So the purpose must find its lasting place on earth, the unity of plan and purpose, which must find its lasting place on earth. Well, purpose must find its lasting place on earth, and the plan will ensure that it does so. Work with the plan, capital, divine plan, capitalized here. Focus upon your share in that great work. Make sure your personal activity, your personal planning, is not driven by your own thoughts or by your own desires or by your individuality in any respect, but by a true appreciation of this process we call the divine plan. Work with the plan and focus upon your share in that great work. The word of the soul, the directing power of the soul, goes forth as it has in all the other stanzas. The word goes forth from soul to form. Stand in the center of the pentagram. Pentagram is the number 5. It indicates the thinking power, whether on the lower mental plane illuminated by the soul or on the higher mental plane later. Stand in the center of the pentagram where you will have protection, control, directing power, drawn, I suppose, by you upon that high place in the east when you focus your thought in that high place. Drawn upon that high place, in other words, when you say, I will think within the light, you are drawing the pentagram. Drawn upon that high place in the east within the light, whichever shines. Well, you know, it can be drawn in the higher levels of the mind within the light of the soul. It can be drawn within the causal body within the light of the monad or triad. Because in a way, well, the light that ever shines is the monadic light, but as the monad is represented within the causal body as the jewel in the lotus, an aspect of that light, whichever shines, is also found within the soul. It's the eternal flame, in a way. But the monad is really a spark hanging from the eternal flame. The eternal flame is being itself. So we've taken it up several levels, but at least be in the light of the soul and concentrate your thinking principle within the light of the soul, and do not leave the power of thought. Stay with the illumined power of thought, from whence illuminated, plan-related direction can occur. From that illumined center work, leave not the light. It is dangerous to do so, and your plans will go astray. Leave not the pentagram. Always remain the illuminated thinking being. With the mind fully alert and aware of soul plans, either because the lower mind receives it or because you're actually within the realm of the soul and are participating directly in the planning of the soul. stand steady in the midst of all forces which need to be organized, all the swirling, chaotic forces. You are a pillar of steadiness, and you will be able to direct them according to the requirements of the divine plan. Then draw a line. This is the alignment, you know, from that which is without to that which is within. It's even from your own individuality to that which is within, which is the soul. And see the plan take form. It will magically take form because the pattern above will bring the outer forms into resonance with it, and they will begin to replicate, duplicate the inner form, though on the outer planes. And thus the magical work will be completed, and there will be an integration here of you, the magician, the individual, and the soul center, which is really your home. You will become the soul integrated personality, fulfilling the magical work with the divine plan in the furthest world, in the outer world. Integration is approached a little differently in every one of these stanzas. We will see how DK manages to do this shortly. Okay, I seek to bring the two together. The plan is in my hands. How shall I work? Where lay the emphasis? In the far distance stands the one who is. Here at my hand is form, activity, substance, and desire. Can I relate these and fashion thus a form for God? Where shall I send my thought, my power, the word that I can speak? I at the center stand, the worker in the field of magic. I know some rules, some magical controls, some words of power, some forces which I can direct. What shall I do? Danger there is. The task that I have undertaken is not easy of accomplishment, yet I love power. I love to see the forms emerge, created by my mind, and do their work, fulfill the plan, and disappear. I can create. The rituals of the temple of the Lord are known to me. How shall I work? Love not the work. Let love of God's eternal plan control your life, your mind, your hand, your eye. Work towards the unity of plan and purpose, which must find its lasting place on earth. Work with the plan. Focus upon your share in that great work. The word goes forth from soul to form. Stand in the center of the pentagram, drawn upon that high place in the east within the light which ever shines. From that illumined center, work. Leave not the pentagram. Stand steady in the midst. Then draw a line from that which is without to that which is within, and see the plan take form. Okay, well, as we have been doing, you know, there's a few more, not much, a couple, let's see, one, two, and three. Three more paragraphs, really. And then we can see whether we can go on into the technique of fusion, which is really, in a way, an extension of the technique of integration. As I pointed out earlier, we have seen how the end result of both the technique of integration and the technique of fusion is the merging of the personality ray with the soul ray as a sub-ray of that ray. So this is going to be, then, the end of Techniques of Integration webinar commentaries number 16, Esoteric Psychology 2, and page 376. And we'll begin, beginning of Techniques of Integration webinar commentaries number 17, EP2, page 376. Okay, this program is a little bit over, but that's how I've been trying to do about an hour and 15 minutes. It's an hour and 20 minutes, generally, to do the discussion on these stanzas. And then, following the all-important discussion which Master DK offers, his interpretation, then we'll see what we have emphasized correctly or not, and add to it, of course, what Master DK is suggesting. So, we'll see you before long. Hopefully I'll finish this and you can have this before long, then on to the techniques of fusion, only three of them, but very profound from the meditative perspective. Not so much emphasis upon the personality life, it's the idea of the integrated soul personality completing the fusion in consciousness between soul and personality. So some rather advanced meditative techniques and alignments are involved in these techniques of fusion. All right, everybody, we'll see you soon for number 17. Bye-bye.